The first reading is from the book of Genesis. Abram's wife Sarai had borne him no children. She had, however, an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. Sarai said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from bearing children. Have intercourse then with my maid. Perhaps I shall have sons through her." Abram heeded Sarai's request. Thus, after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, his wife Sarai took her maid, Hagar the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his concubine. He had intercourse with her, and she became pregnant. When she became aware of her pregnancy, she looked on her mistress with disdain. So Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for this outrage against me. I myself gave my maid to your embrace, but ever since she became aware of her pregnancy, she has been looking on me with disdain. May the Lord decide between you and me." Abram told Sarai, "Your maid is in your power. Do to her whatever you please." Sarai then abused her so much that Hagar ran away from her. The Lord's messenger found her by a spring in the wilderness, the spring on the road to Shur, and he asked, "Hagar, maid of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" She answered, "I am running away from my mistress, Sarai." But the Lord's messenger told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her abusive treatment. I will make your descendants so numerous," added the Lord's messenger, "that they will be too many to count. Besides," the Lord's messenger said to her, "you are now pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard you, God has answered you. This one shall be a wild ass of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him. In opposition to all his kin shall he encamp." Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named the son whom Hagar bore him Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. And the Gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said to his disciples, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name?' Then I will declare to them solemnly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers.' Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house. But it did not collapse, it had been set solidly on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined." When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. One summer many years ago, I acted as chaplain for a week in a home for old people. It was about this time of the year, and we were reading these sections of the book of Genesis. Some of the older people were scandalized at what Abraham was getting up to in his old age and complained to me that we should not have to listen to this kind of carry-on during Mass. It is indeed a bit shocking. Today's reading, for example, speaks about a kind of surrogate motherhood involving Sarai, Abram, and Hagar. Sarai is keen to give her husband a child and does so using the womb of her servant Hagar. As soon as the maid is pregnant, however, she begins to feel superior to her mistress, who is, for the moment, childless. Sarai's mood changes, and she's not as keen on the situation as she was before it happened. Sarai wants to get rid of Ishmael and his mother, and Abram goes along with this. Ishmael is a wild ass of a man, not the son of the promise as Isaac was to be, but still not falling outside the reach of God's providence. Sarai and Abram might want to see the back of Hagar and Ishmael, but God has a place for them in his plan, a plan he is working out through Abram, and it gives Ishmael some entitlement in the household of his father. What exactly the story of Hagar and Ishmael is trying to explain remains obscure, though they will figure later in Christian reflections on grace, freedom, and God's choice. One of the issues raised here is that of legitimacy. How does a son become entitled to the inheritance of his father? Ishmael had a problem because he is the son of a servant. He is, it is true, the son of Abraham, but not a fully legitimate one. He has, it seems, some rights in the household, but not the full rights of a son born to a free woman. This is Paul's use of the story later in Galatians, where Hagar represents the earthly Jerusalem, an unfree city, and Sarah represents the heavenly Jerusalem, the place of freedom God has established for all the children of Abraham. The Gospel reading blows apart all these older, more primitive understandings of legitimacy and entitlement. The key to the door of the Father's kingdom is not now anything to do with the circumstances of one's natural birth. It is connected simply and exclusively with whether or not one acts on the will of the Father. It is not enough to hear it and to know it. The man building his house on rock is the one who not only hears the words spoken by Jesus, but also acts on them. This is the new family of Abraham. He is our father in faith, and it is a faith in practice, a faith formed by the new commandment of love that characterizes and unites the members of this family of Abraham. In a text that anticipates Paul's hymn to love in 1 Corinthians 13, Jesus says that it is not enough to say, "Lord, Lord." It is not enough to prophesy or to drive out demons. It is not enough to work mighty deeds. It is not enough to claim Abraham or Moses or David as our father. What is required is that a person hear the words of Jesus and act on them. It is at once simpler and much more difficult than any other way of belonging. We simply have to act on the teachings of Jesus, which we have been listening to in the Sermon on the Mount. But if we are to act on those teachings in the way Jesus has asked, then we need the love of God to be poured into our hearts. It is the Holy Spirit, the bearer of that gift, who makes us to be the children of God, heirs with the Son, practitioners of the law, people entitled to be in the household of the Father, with an entitlement that is, purely and simply, His gift, renewed each day.